We need to get into and have a desire to be in the Word of God. And we need to come to God's Word with the right heart, desiring to be taught. And we need to be taught by those God has placed in the body to equip us for the works of service, those who are faithful to Him and His Word. And then we need to come to the Word with a heart to obey it.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone message from Ohio. A blessed listener shares, I just wanted to thank Greg Lundstedt for his preaching close to the Word and staying right in the Bible. He gives you that wanting, that desire to know the Word of the Lord, and I just thank him for standing true and holding in many oppositions. Thank you so much. He's blessed me. Keep up the good work. Keep on keeping on. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for your encouragement. We don't know who you are, but the Lord knows who you are. And we just want to praise the Lord for His encouragement through you. And thank you so much.
And Greg, today we complete our look at a passage that reveals what God does when His Word falls on prepared hearts.
Yes, Dave, we will. So let's get right to our passage. Turn with us to Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're looking at verses 13 to 18.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And later on, as they're going to see on the 15th of the month for 7 days, there's to be the Feast of Booths, and they're going to read it, and they're going to go, wow, we haven't been doing this, and we need to obey, and we're going to see that. So on the second day, they gather to hear the word being taught from Ezra. And remember, Ezra was a good guy. He set his heart to study the word and to do it and then to teach it to God's people. He was a good guy. He was a good guy. And they went to Ezra to gain insight. This term, the heads of the fathers or the prime are the leaders of the fathers, spoke of those who were family leaders or even tribal leaders in a sense. And then you have the term priests and Levites. And so these were the leaders, and they wanted to hear more of the word of God. They wanted to hear more. When we leave here, we should want to know more. We should want to hear more of the word. The next day, they want to hear it, and they go to Ezra. Now, I'm not expecting you to knock on my door on Monday, but the reality is we should desire to be in the Word of God. We should go out. It shouldn't be that we're satisfied and this is it. We should have a hunger and thirst for it, and it should be working in our hearts, the Lord, through His Word. So we have them doing this. And Ezra, he was the Lord's man. He's a good guy, as I mentioned. And so here they gathered that they might gain insight. Again, it's that word we've seen throughout, understanding or insight. It's that word that they might get it, that they might get it. And their reason to get it was to do it. You know, if the word is just some type of a little academic exercise for you, then that's a problem. We read God's word because it's God's word, and we want to know what His desire is for us. And we want to then do what He wants us to by His power and strength as we trust and abide in Jesus Christ. You see, it's all through abiding in Him. You know, take a look. Let's turn to Psalm 119. And you see the heart of someone who wants to be taught. The heart of someone who wants to be taught so that they would become more like the Lord, as we see. One who understands that it's through the Word of God that this happens. Let's go to Psalm 119, and I'm going to start in verse 9. Some of these verses are familiar, and it's good to read them together, to see them together. Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. There's some advice, young men. How do you keep your way pure? Keep it according to God's word. And notice what he says. With all my heart I have sought thee. It's a real relationship. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. I know I can fall, Lord. Don't let me wander, right? Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. This is important. Blessed art thou, O Lord. And listen to this. Teach me thy statutes. When we come to the Word of God personally or corporately, we need to be praying in our heart of hearts, in a sense, Lord God, help me understand your word. Teach me your word. Teach me your statutes. And he says here, with my lips I have told of all thy ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I might live and keep thy word. Open my eyes that I might behold wonderful things from thy law. Tremendous heart attitude. That's the heart attitude of someone who desires to have God change his heart through his word. And that's what we should desire. And we should come expecting God to give us his commands and his desire so that we would know what to do. We'll see that a little later. So then, he came to Ezra to gain insight to the words of the law. And then notice, they sought it and they found it. By the way, if you come to the Word of God with the right heart, you seek the Lord, obviously in salvation you'll find him, but you seek him, you seek a desire to understand his word. Notice, they found it, verse 14. And they found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses. By the way, God gave his word, and he inspired human writers to bring forth his word. No prophecy of scripture is matter of one's own interpretation, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. Moses brought forth God's word. The Lord, he says here, the Lord through Moses, that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Now, we're all saying, well, I know what that is. That's in Leviticus. Well, I don't think they had verse numbers specifically. Those were given later. They're going through the scrolls, they're looking at the Word of God, and they found this. They found it certainly in what we call Leviticus. And so they found this. They found this truth. They desired to know what God had to say, and they found it. And God led them to something they had not been obeying. And specifically, as we'll see, that Israel had not obeyed as a nation since Joshua. Pretty amazing if you think about it. And there's a principle here. Keep seeking to understand God's word, asking him to give you wisdom. Teach me thy statutes, O Lord. You know, God is a good God. You ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. You ask him to help you understand his word, he will do that. He is a good God. And so they found this, and it's in Leviticus as we see it. And you can turn it to Leviticus 23. They found this portion. And the first half concerning the Feast of Booths talks about the sacrifices that go on during this time. And those are symbolic, pointing to what Christ would do ultimately, as we say. Leviticus 23:34. Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of the seventh month. I bet they were gasping for air when they read that. It's the second of the seventh month. And it's on the 15th, right? Whoa, that's coming up. Wow, isn't God great? He says seventh month is the Feast of Booths for 7 days to the Lord. It's always to the Lord. It's not a ritual. It's to the Lord. And they were reading that this had to be done in 13 days. It was the second day of the month. Let's go down to verse 39. Basically, they see the sacrifices, and then he gives the specifics that we'll see in our passage. Verse 39, on exactly the fifth day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day you shall make for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Look at that. Isn't that great? And thus you shall celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year, and it shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. Well, we're going to see it didn't turn out to be that way. They weren't obeying this. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths. That speaks of these little foliage tents, that these temporary dwellings, for 7 days, and all the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. And so we have the reason to do this, that they would know he's the Lord their God who took them, brought them out of Egypt. But what's interesting, along with that, it also reveals their sinfulness. They should have only lived in booths about 11 days. That's how long it takes to get from Sinai to the land. And they sinned, and God laid them low in the wilderness. He had them wander for 40 years, and they lived in booths after they were delivered from Egypt. But it's also to be a joyful time, all together, Deuteronomy 16:15, to be all together joyful, celebrating what God had done, delivering them out of Egypt. And we're going to see, actually, even later on in Zechariah chapter 14, it talks about celebrating the Feast of Booths later on. You see, in the millennium, we look back to what Christ did. There, they looked forward to it. Christ fulfilled all those Old Testament shadows through what he did in his death and burial and resurrection. He fulfilled all of them, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And yet we will still celebrate and look back. You'll see that later on in Zechariah chapter 14 in the millennium. So here, these Jews are to celebrate this. And then we see here, they sought the word of God and they found it and they obeyed it. Look at verse 15. So they proclaimed and circulated a proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches and branches and other leafy trees to make booths as it is written. They obeyed the word of God. They put out a proclamation to do what God had said. They gained insight that they might obey. We come to God's word not as an intellectual challenge, but to understand what his desire is for us, to be, as we see in 2 Timothy 3, to be taught, to be convicted, to be corrected, to be trained in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. We see that. Think about the Great Commission, and I'll read this for you, Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them. Those were those who he had appointed to see after he had risen from the dead. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, literally, in your going, make disciples. That's the main verb. And then there's two participles of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You don't make a disciple of someone who isn't saved. And then secondly, teaching them to observe or obey all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. We're to be taught to obey all that the Lord has commanded us. And by the way, you can spot a true believer. I'm not talking about externalism. The Jews looked like they were pretty good on the outside, but the inside was horribly dirty. They were not saved, those Pharisees. But you can tell if someone's saved by and large if they obey the Lord. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. And this is not my opinion, it's God's word. And I love this portion because in 1 John 1, it talks about the confessors of sin. It talks about those who are the confessors of sin. You see, if we say we have no sin, we're liars. We do sin. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful. The tense is for continually habitually confessing our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're the confessors of sin, it's an evidence that we're saved and we are cleansed in his blood. And then he goes on, chapter 2, verse 1, these things have been written that you may not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? Tremendous reality. And then look at 1 John 2, verse 3. And by this we know that we have come to know him. Do you want to know if you've come to know Jesus? Here you go. If we keep his commandments. Now, it's not the Ten Commandments. This is the word is ontoli. It's not the law. It's his commands. It's just like we saw in Matthew, right? To observe all that he's commanded. The one who says, I've come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. And he's going to make the case in 1 John that a love for our brothers and sisters is that primary reality. First for the Lord, but then for our brothers and sisters. And so then, if you truly have faith, we see like in chapter 2 of James, it's going to work. Not perfectly, because we're sinful and God is conforming us to the image of Christ, but we're going to be convicted over our sin. And we're going to be corrected and changed and trained. And so, we need to come to the Word with an expectation of how we are to live and how we're to respond. And I think sometimes we don't do that. We come to church, we kind of absorb it, we walk out. We need to come to the Word. What does God want me to do? And then we trust Him to do it through us. We don't do it on our own strength. We abide in Christ and trust Him. And notice, the leaders proclaimed what they were to do, and the entire assembly obeyed. This is miraculous in a sense, right? Look at verse 16, back in our passage in Nehemiah chapter 8. So the people went out, brought them, and made booths for themselves, each on his own roof, in their courts, in the courts of the house of God, in the square of the water gate, we saw that earlier, and in the square of the gate of Ephraim. And the entire assembly of those who had returned from captivity, this is everyone who had come from Babylon, everyone, entire assembly, and made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, to that day. And there was great rejoicing. You want to see a happy Christian? You see a Christian who's obeying the Lord. Yes, we fail, but we confess it and we turn and obey Him. Happy Christian. You want to see a miserable Christian? Somebody who's not dealing with sin. Someone who's not living in obedience. We all know that. We've all been there. And then we trust the Lord, we obey Him, we confess, knowing we're forgiven, stepping out of faith. Yes, we grieve over it, but it should morph to thankfulness for the forgiveness we have. And there was great rejoicing. The reality is we see sporadic portions where they did celebrate this back in the Old Testament, but it was never the whole assembly. It was never everyone in Israel celebrating this. And the next time we'll see it later on is in the millennium when all the Jews who were saved in the tribulation, we see at the end, they're going to celebrate this also. And I had that passage for you in Zechariah, but ultimately it's worship of the Lord. This is not just simply a mechanical celebration. There were sacrifices that pointed to what Christ would do, and they will point back to what He has done. And it is, in this context, worship. And there was great rejoicing. Great rejoicing. Again, there's no better place to be than in obedience to the Lord and His Word. It brings joy. You know, it's interesting. You see that in a small picture with your children, right? They get caught, they get spanked, you know, their hearts get addressed, and then they obey, and you see little happy kids. You see that. And it's no different with us. As we obey the Lord, He gives us joy. Through the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. We see that joy. So then, and I did have the Zechariah passage, actually. Turn to Zechariah chapter 14. I thought I had it in my other notes. Zechariah 14, 16. And this is speaking of after, if you look at the context, it's after the Lord has come. It's at the end of the tribulation. He comes, defeats His enemies, and then this is after that. And I believe it's in the millennium. That's my belief. Zechariah 14, 16. Then it will come about when any who are left of all the nations that went up against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King. Notice that. The Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the feasts of booths. Isn't that interesting? It really points to His deliverance from our sin. They were delivered from Egypt, a picture. It points to the reality of the sacrifices that He brought forth, the harvest also. So many things there is to worship the Lord. Tremendous reality. Now, should we go out and celebrate the Feast of Booths? No, we're not Jews. Christ has fulfilled those things. And we look back at those things and we see the fulfillment and we worship Christ. But the point is, they looked to obey the Word, they found it, and they obeyed. And then look, as we finish up, look at verse 18, back in Nehemiah chapter 8. And he read from the book of the law of God daily. He would be Ezra here. Wow, it wasn't over. You know, when you're walking with the Lord, the Word is in your life. Right? You want to hear the Word, you get it, you're in it. When you're not walking with the Lord, it's pushed to the side, right? We know that. I think it was Moody or somebody said, you know, this book will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from this book. Just like what we saw in 1 John 2. They read the Word of law of God daily. Daily. They're focused on God's Word. Tremendous. From the first day to the last. That's in that feast time, from the 15th of the month to the 22nd. And they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. They obeyed the Lord. Isn't that great? And I hope you've heard something that maybe you haven't heard before, and it has motivated you to go out and obey God in these areas in that Word. And you want to get into the Word of God and obey Him. So how is it we are to be restored? How is it that our lives, when they are in spiritual shambles, are to be restored and built up? When the walls of our walk with Christ are broken down and the doors are wide open to sin and they've been burned up with the wreckage of our choices, well, obviously we need to confess and He'll forgive us. But we need to get back into and have a desire to be in the Word of God. And we need to come to God's Word with the right heart, desiring to be taught. And we need to be taught by those God has placed in the body to equip us for the works of service, those who are faithful to Him and His Word. And then we need to come to the Word with a heart to obey it, a heart to do what we have heard. And then you're going to have, and you'll see, extreme joy. And all the while, keep on learning. They came back to the Word the second day. They read it every day during the feast to stay in the Word of God. Because, as I mentioned before, God uses His Word to build us up. It's how He called us into a relationship with Himself. We're born again through the living and abiding Word of God. And He uses it to grow us in respect to salvation. I'm not talking about a legalistic view of worship of God's Word, but a worship of the living God, knowing He uses His Word by His Spirit to change us and conform us into the image of His Son. And so I ask you, where are you today? Are you like those who hear God's Word every Sunday or Wednesday or whenever it is, and you walk away and you forget the conviction that you had when you were there? And you're just right back to where you were, you immediately forget. And you do the same things you did before, you're not changed, and heart isn't changed. Well, I'd encourage you to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Or maybe you are, and their spiritual walls are broken down. You need to confess your sin, you need to yearn for God's Word, you need to allow Him through His Word, with a right heart towards Him and His Word, to change you with the desire to obey what He says. We need to come to God's Word looking for what He is teaching, that we might observe, that we might obey. That's the Great Commission, baptizing and teaching, that they might observe all that He did and said, we see. And so with that in mind, how are you doing? Well, I want to finish with this one passage. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And you might recognize this portion. It is a parallel portion with Matthew 7, the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" That's a pretty simple question. And I lay that question from God's Word before any one of you that it may apply to. "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and what? Acts upon them. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood rose, the torrent burst against that house and it could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who's heard and has not acted accordingly is like the man who built a house upon the ground without any foundation. And the torrent burst against it and immediately it collapsed and the ruin of that house was great." Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? If He is your Lord, it should be our desire to do what He says. And we need to look and find it in His Word, and we will.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, so often we seek happiness or joy in all the wrong places.
Yes, we do, Dave. But as we've seen today, if we set our hearts onto obeying what we have learned and understood, having been convicted of from the Word, and we keep on learning and obeying, this will bring extreme joy.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.